Our second talk in this session is going to be from Anne Fuyu, who is based in the University of Oslo Department of Geosciences and is going to talk to us about building the Research Software Engineering Group, the Nordic Research Software Engineering Group. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so I will talk about the Nordic RSC and why and how. But before, I will say who we are. So to know who we did a survey because we didn't really know who we are. We started the survey, I think, in May 2018, something like that. It's still ongoing. I gave you the link here. If you are working in Nordic countries, you can fill in the questionnaire. And we really use this exactly same format as any other countries. We didn't do anything fancy. As you can see on the map on the left, we are like 5 countries so far. Iceland, Denmark, Finland, Sweden, and Norway. We are quite spread, very large territory, if you look at it. In terms of number of inhabitants, it's very, very tiny compared to other countries. In total, we are less than 30 million. It's quite tiny compared to a large geographical area. And the answer we had so far, mostly in Norway and in Sweden, with 44 in Sweden and 45 in Norway, and much less in Finland, Denmark, and Iceland. And on the map, you can see some black dots. The dots, this is where we have core team members of the Nordic RSC. So this is very new. We have members mostly in Norway, with one in Tromsø with Radovan, two in Trondheim with Radek, who is here, and Konstantin, I think. And I'm in Oslo, and in Sweden we have Tor, which I don't know if he's here. I can't see much. He should be here. He's at the conference. And we are still one person living in UK, but attached to the Nordic RSC. So you can see we have more answer when we have local community. It's easier to build, and it's easier to get an answer. Let's see. So now you know more or less who we are, but are we any different? And that's a big question, because in the Nordic country, we strongly believe we are different. So we love to believe we are different, but the survey says otherwise. We are very similar. For the Nordic RSC survey, we get exactly the same numbers as you guys. Nothing more, nothing better, nothing worse, very similar. But there is a but. What about gender equality? Because I don't know if you are aware, but the Nordic countries are the world's best for gender equality. And it's a fact. And I'm living in Norway, and I can tell you it's true. In the society, it's quite well balanced. And this is a global gender gap index. Out of 144 countries, we are in the top. So we can give you some lessons. Well, that's what we would like to believe. But, and there is a but, the survey says otherwise. On the left-hand side, you have the results of what we got. In terms of percentage of women and men for the RSC. It's very similar to what we have in UK. It's even worse. It's very similar to what we have in US and in Germany or South Africa or Netherlands. And all the numbers for the other countries, this is from the survey from 2017, and the number we have is from the survey in 2018. So we have, it's a fact, in the Nordic countries, more than 80% RSC are men. So nothing better than what you have in your country. Well, we are supposed to be much better. And despite efforts, when I say despite efforts, it means in the Nordic countries, there is really a very active community and really active funding to try to increase the rate of women in an area where there are not enough women, or vice versa. In an area where there are too few men, they are also having very strong action to make it more balanced, to have a very balanced society. Why? So why do we have this very bad score? The fact is we don't exist in the Nordic countries. So research software engineers, it's a word, we created it, but we are nowhere. So it's very hard to advertise, it's very hard even to show that there is a problem, because we are not anywhere. And if I, for instance, I'm working at the University of Oslo in the Department of Geosciences, and I'm part of the administration. So when they do statistics, they say, oh, and look, very balanced. You have even more women than men. So there is no problem. And it's not only a problem for men and women. I think it's a world problem for the research software engineer in itself in the Nordic countries. And this is exactly what you were raising before. If there is no career path, how can you retain people? For instance, in the Nordic countries, this is very well aware that at the master level and the PhD level, we have a very equal number of male and female. If you go higher, people staying in research is drop. There is a huge drop. And then we go back to 80%, 20%. So it means if we really want to have an equal society and a very well balanced for research software engineer, we need to exist. And I think this is now you understand why Nordic countries would like to have an RC association or something similar. So why Nordic? Because you know why, but why Nordic? Why don't we have one in Norway, one in Sweden, one in Iceland, etc.? The thing is, we are very strong locally. As local action, we are very good at setting communities, and we have done it in different locations. But if we want to go beyond, it's much harder. So we can get some funding, for instance, in each university, to set up, for instance, like carpentry-like initiatives. So, for instance, at the University of Oslo, since 2012, we are running carpentries, software carpentries and data carpentry workshop. It's mostly volunteer, and we now have a study group, and it's, again, mostly volunteer, so we have no structure. So it means this is limited in terms of action. I cannot invite people from Trondheim, for instance, because nobody will pay for it. And then national actions, this is very hard. There is no funding. Research Council mostly fund people to do research, fundamental research. At a European level, it's hard anyway, because it's very competitive. And we are very tiny. So the Nordic collaboration for us is like a game changer. And the Nordic collaboration for us is to become from small to big, which is big for you. It's maybe not that big, but at least to have a reasonable size. So we can have a weight, we can have a voice, and we can say, here we are, and this is what we would like to build. And we are no longer alone, and this is very important, because then we can also join like the international RIC, and we feel we can exchange expertise between different people from all over the world. And I think this is a very most important, it's about money. I mean, if we go Nordic, it's because funding is available at the Nordic level, and we can act beyond range of university or very local action. And this is through the Nordic e-infrastructure collaboration we can get funding. So if we know why, now it's how we can build this kind of communities. So as I said, locally, it's quite good. We know how to do it, but it's quite only in few areas, few places. But we need to go more local places. But it's very important to establish trust with researchers, for instance, in academia, to have local RIC and to have local groups. But, and there is a but, if you only stay at this local level, and we can see it when we did the survey, you only have people from your surrounding. So if you want to go beyond, you have to build something which is on top of your local, and this is why the Nordic is important. And the Nordic is important also to train the trainer, because if you stay local and you only learn from people in your own place, it's very hard to expand and to grow in your career. So it's very important to have something which helps you to learn more, especially to learn more technical skills. And for the last part, I put like a big question mark. This is international. For me, it's very important not to stay only at the Nordic countries. And it's not like temporal. We should all have the action at the local, Nordic, and international level at the same time. Because we need to rely at least on something outside the Nordic countries, for instance, for the technological watch. So far, I'm always looking at what is done, for instance, in UK, for instance, what is done in France, what is done in Germany. So it's very important to have like a point where I can look and see, this is the next technology, so I should look at it. I should tell my guys to look at it. So for expert knowledge sharing, this is also very, very important. So we can exchange knowledge. Well, if you are think about it, you are working in Iceland, you have only few people around you. You need to have them to go outside to be able to get some expertise. And the last one, that's for the long-term sustainability. I mean, that's a big question mark for us, how we can become sustainable. It's very difficult. And you have done excellent work in some area to make it happen, but it's a bit difficult. And if we tell you a bit more on how, we have a 3 years project. This is a continuation of an excellent project which was run at a Nordic level, Code Refinery. It's Code Refinery 2. It's starting now for 3 years. And one of the goals of this Code Refinery 2 is to establish the RSC in the Nordic country. It's only one of the objectives. So having like a carpentry like Nordic or Code Refinery like Nordic, I don't know how you want to call it. It doesn't really matter. But the idea is to grow. It's to grow in areas where we are not yet. Like in Denmark, we don't have anybody. We don't have any community, or we are not aware. Well, we know they are doing great stuff. And it's the same in Finland. We know, I mean, they are very active at the European level, for instance, for training. We want to be part of it. We want to benefit from them. So this is very important. And to train trainers and promote software best practices in the Nordic countries. Because it's very hard to get trained when you are in a small university, when you have only few people and you are the only one in your lab. We will consolidate and promote the Code Refinery training material. I mean, they have developed, as part of the initial project, amazing training material, and we really need to be able to use it in all the different countries and even outside the Nordic countries. And we need to support local action, because we know if we don't have a relay locally, it doesn't work. So we really need to have some people who can locally make the community stronger and can communicate with researchers and help them, for instance, for applying for grants. But as I said before, the main uncertainty is money. I mean, this is how to become sustainable beyond the lifetime of the project. I mean, 3 years is very, very short to make something out of it. It's too short to be really effective, so this is a big question mark for us. And this is the conclusion, because I don't have much to say. This is quite new community. So what we did so far is we tried to reach as many people as we can. And you see, it doesn't work that much. In some countries, we didn't manage to reach anybody, or only few people. So still a lot of work to do in this area. But I mean, 100% participant from May 2018, I think it's quite good in this kind of countries. It's very good. We are quite proud of it. We will definitely make a paper out of the survey to make sure and to publish it. It's still a bit uncertain exactly when, but it will happen, hopefully by the end of the year. And the conclusion, and the main conclusion, is we are exactly like you. So we are not better. We are not worse, hopefully. That's good. So if we are not better or not worse, what does it mean? It probably means we would like to have more interaction with the international RSC, for instance, because it's very important for us to grow, and it's also very important to get inputs from them so we can build our community in a much better and efficient way. So we'll have to do a lot of promoting. I know it's boring, but we have to do it. We have to increase the community. This is very interesting. It's always nice to build new community in a different area. So for this is what we have to do for the next 3 years. And that's the end of my talk.